Somebody say amen. All right, we're teaching on receiving your inheritance. Let's read here Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given to thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. It's interesting here, going into this place called Canaan. Canaan, as you know, represents God's best. And it also represents the promised land, or the promises God has given you, the promises that he has given you. And so this, today, I'm just really still kind of reeling from some of the things and words that were spoken during our conference, and especially some of the prophetic word that was spoken. It almost made me feel that something got released on the inside of me. And so as you can see this here, this is God now, and he is taking this group of people from now this wilderness into Canaan. And he speaks in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. He speaks about, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I want you to see that verse. Because he swore to their fathers that he'd give them the land. Now, it says he showed them the land. Now, who did he show it to? He showed it to the leaders that were there. Because you and I are not designed to go any further than we have knowledge. That's our limit. You can't believe unless you've heard. Put it up there on the board. Romans chapter 4, verse 14. He says, then how, in Romans, oh, pardon me, I said Romans 4, 14, 10, 14, I think you have it down there. Romans 10 and 14. He says this, how then shall they call on him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they've never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, how can he preach except he be sent? Okay. Now, Moses sent them out. And when they went out, they spied out the land, came back, and told what they saw. And some of them told according to sense evidence. They spoke something that was reasonable. The others spoke the truth. The truth is the highest realm of reality. That's why it says that think on these things, things that are true and honest and good. He said, first, think on the things that are true. See, the fact is that you have sickness in your body. But what's the truth? By his stripes you're healed. He's not asking you to think on the sickness. If we want to get the action of the promise, we're going to have to think on the promise. So, This group that came out of Egypt didn't go in. Because we can't go any further than we have knowledge. And when he, notice, here's this congregation, but God didn't send a congregation in to check it out. He only sent 12. These came back to the congregation and spoke what they saw. So I'm supposed to get in this word during the week and speak what I see. Now he's going to give it to me, and he's somehow put me between you and his promise here. And somehow I'm supposed to be, as a teacher, preacher, apostle, whatever have you, I'm supposed to give you the truth. And the truth will make you free. Praise God. So you can't go any further. They couldn't go any further than they had knowledge. So if they came back and preached, we can't take it. They're giants. Well, they believe what they heard. And because they believe what they heard, they got it. So they are in the wilderness. And God said, you're not going over. Put that verse back up there again in Joshua chapter 5. Put that up there again. Look at what it says. I want you to see this. He says this, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land. Watch this. He swore that he wasn't going to take them in there. Now, these are people in the, this is about 3 million. He said, you're not going in. Matter of fact, they got consumed, meaning that they died early. That, by the way, is, I'm taking my time, that, by the way, is in Psalm chapter 90. And in Psalm chapter 90, he says, now this is kind of an interesting because people have misread this. He said in Psalm 90 in verse 9, for all the days of our path that are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. What's that? How many is that? 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, how many is that? 80 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So take verse 9 and put it up in the Amplified translation, and that'll help you with this understanding. He says, for all our days out here in this wilderness, says Moses, passed away in your wrath. And we spend our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan, glory to God. The days of our years are 75, or even if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet is their pride in additional years, only labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone and we fly away. Now, what is he saying? We're spending our years out here in disobedience. And because of disobedience, we're dying early. Now, why did God let that happen? Because they were disobedient. And when you're talking about the promises and the promised land of God, the promised land of God is not just a promise, but it is a responsibility of the believer. You're going to get good. You just watch and see. So this promised land, he promised this to Abraham. Now, what are these people trying to do? Make God out of a liar? Ain't no way. If it's in this book, it's going to come to pass. And if he can't find you to get it, he'll go somewhere else. Because he's going to fulfill what he told Abraham, promised Abraham he was going to do. Said, I'm going to take your seed in there. I'm going to take your descendants in there. But they didn't want to go. And you know who was behind that. That was the devil. Trying to make it so that God's word would return void. Not do what he said. He won't do it. So my point to you is, what did he have to do? He had to let them die. Why? Because he had to get their kids. And the only reason he kept them alive as long as they did, so that the kids could grow up. And so now he's got the kids, and he's going to take their kids in. He's going to take kids into that inheritance. Now, let's talk a little bit about the inheritance. Now, I'm coming where you are. All right, so the inheritance. Let's go all the way back to Revelation chapter 13 first. And over in Revelation chapter 13, and look at verse 8. He says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me ask you a question. Who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Jesus. Say his name loud.
Jesus.
All right, so he was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, wait. Now, I thought Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He did. But in the mind of God, he knew that Adam was going to mess up. So he prepared a sacrifice before the world was. And in his mind, it's a done deal. So mankind was going to need a redeemer. And Jesus was going to be the one that's going to do it. Y'all with me? All right. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 5. And started verse 11. Now we're talking about your inheritance because Jesus had to pay a price. He paid a price. Watch this. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Who was the Lamb?
Jesus.
All right. Slain for who? For us. To receive what? Power. Now, this is what you have to receive. This is your inheritance. Now, this is what you have to receive. Power. What else? Now, that word power is the word dunamis, which means miracle working power. You have to receive that how? By faith. Say, I have to receive it by faith. And I can't receive it by faith unless I hear the preacher preaching. The preacher's got to preach something so that I can receive something. Power, and what else next? Riches. Riches is not a bad word in church. God wants you rich. And that's what it says. Now, I've got to preach about riches so that you can believe for riches. And it's not just riches so that you can have all the stuff. It's riches so that you can be rich in your benevolence. And you can be rich in your giving. You can, come on, you can be rich in making somebody else what God wants them to be. Look at the next one. And what else? Wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God. Now this wisdom is supposed to separate you. Any country that's suffering, there's an answer to the sufferings in that country or that city or that family. It doesn't make any difference. Look at the next one. And what else? Strength. Now this is not just, you know, feeling good one day. This is strength, meaning preserving you. As your body gets older, you'll still have your strength of your youth. Next one is what? Honor. God never intended for you to be dishonored. You will go and be honored. Say amen to that. I'll talk about that later. Glory, and that's a whole other thing we got to talk about. And blessing. Say blessing.
Blessing.
That's not an S on that. So that's barakah, meaning it's an empowerment for success. So that is going to be on your life. So God never intended for you to compete with anybody. You are not here to compete. The blessing does not give you ability to compete. The blessing gives you the ability to dominate. It's taking you back to the garden. God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have what?
Dominion.
Not competition, dominion. Dominion. So there should be a clear difference between you and the rest of the world. And what you don't want the world to do is try to drop the standards so you can get in. Because if you have, the world's got to do that, but not you, the church. That's what you want. You want standards to be lifted up so high that they can't touch it. You want to be the, Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me here? Now, all of this is good, right? And God wants you to receive his inheritance. Now, when you receive his inheritance, one, it's your responsibility. But secondly, when you receive his inheritance, you receive his inheritance by obeying Jesus. Let me make sure we're clear here. Got it? So here are 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I understand they have an inheritance. Go show yourself to the priest. As they, come on, help me, went, come on, they were healed. What did they do to receive that inheritance? Just obey what Jesus said. Come on, you got to stay with me. He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, he says that for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Grievous. I looked that word up, grievous. I said, now what does grievous mean? And it means that they're not hard. It means that, I'm going to get to the word grievous in just a minute. It means that they're not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not oppressive. Watch this. They're not painful. They're not hard to be done. So for you, you have been given an inheritance. That in that inheritance for you is health, wealth, and wisdom. In that inheritance for you is the blessing. Now, what did the blessing do for Isaac when it came on Isaac? Notice what happened. He rose up so high until the king of Gerar said, leave here. You are much mightier than we are. Look what it did over in the time of Jacob. He's working for Laban. And Laban was swindling him out of money every payday. But then God said to Jacob, come off the system. And Jacob went to Laban and said, listen, a boss man, you don't need to pay me anything else. From now on, what's going to happen is everything that comes out spotted, speckled, and striped will be mine. And everything comes out plain will be yours. And Laban turned his head and said, I got this fool now. Now, what happened? God gave him wisdom, and through coming off the system, the blessing kicked in. And when the blessing kicked in, it was heard in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 1. overheard by Laban's son saying that Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. Now, glory is not mean, whoo, glory. That's not the glory. He's talking about the wealth. Now, notice what happened. No matter who tried to swindle him, no matter what environment he was in, things might have looked bad for a while, but he held on by faith. And God will turn the situation in your life. How about Joseph? Wherever he went, Potiphar's house, he was number one. Going in the jailhouse, he was number one. Then here comes Pharaoh. He calls him up. Now, here's Joseph. He's number two, but he's number one in the government. He is the prime minister. He is taking over everything. Now, he was not an Egyptian. He was a Jew. Now, hear what I'm saying. Well, you know, they don't like us down there, Reverend. Who's us? Well, you know, they don't really like black folks down there. You can say that for you know Jesus. But once you know Jesus, you've come into a different race. Now, you better hear what I'm telling you. Because the one you're in right now is a new creature. All things are what? Passed away. He just using your color now just to give you a secret weapon. But I'm just saying, you know, that gets you in places sometimes you couldn't get in without it. Okay, so my point to you is, now just listen to what I'm saying, that you don't need them to drop the standard for you to get in the game. What you want to do is tell them, send me your best man. Folks, I knew this before I was saved. I came out of flying fighters for the military, and I'm fresh. I mean, I still got combat dust on my boots. And I came to IBM, and they hired me right away and so forth. And I was walking down the aisle of the sales floor of computer sales, and I'm walking down and saw this big leaderboard with all these names on it. And I said, who's top man? They said, top man is Gary. I said, consider him beat. And the guy laughed. Kind of laughed at me, looked kind of sneered at me, you know. I said, okay. Well, what do you think happened? Now, it didn't happen till I got saved. And I start listening to a man teach named Charles Capps. And he start teaching on being blessed. Now, I'm saying because I heard it, I believed it. And when I believed it, I acted on it. And it took me to the top. I'm not bragging on me. That's not spirit I'm talking about. I'm saying wherever you are, in whatever field, it doesn't make any difference. You say, well, they're coming up with ideas and technologies and so on. That doesn't make any difference. Wherever they at, the blessing is going to take you to the top. If it needs to give you new technology, if it needs to give you new strategy, if it needs to bring somebody to you who has new technology, it's going to do whatever necessary to do to have you to fulfill the promise that God made Abraham. And not only that, while you're rising, the blessing will protect you. Not only protect you, protect your kids. Come on, protect your business. The power of the blessing. Pastor, I ain't never heard this before. That's why you're here. Because it's got to be a preacher that preaches it. If he doesn't, you'll never have faith for it. That's why preachers are going to be judged more severely. You look in that book in Numbers chapter 14, and you will see that the preachers who came back with that evil report died real early. No vitamins would keep them alive. My job is to take you there with knowledge. I'm to give you the knowledge. Now, it's going to be up to you. Now, that brings me to my last point. Now, remember now, How do I receive?
By faith.
And faith demands that I act on the word.
Amen.
So you can't just say, well, I got faith, praise the Lord. Okay, show me your faith by your works. James chapter 2. All right, so here's where we are. Now, his commandments are not what?
Grievous.
All right, let's collaborate that with the other scriptures here, or corroborate it. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And just look at that. Now, watch this now, because this is not hard. It's just not been preached. Watch what it says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above some of the nations, all of the nations of the earth. Watch this. And all these blessings, come on, shall come on thee and overtake thee. If you what? Just do what he says. See, Satan has got all kinds of spiritual forces waging war against you.
Amen.
And they're using people. So the game is rigged. You can't win. The only way you're going to win is with God. Because the only one that can defeat Satan is God. Now, if he's in you, greater is he that is in you, come on, than he did in the world. Satan's trick is to try to get you to leave your help and take it on yourself. I got this. No, you don't. You're about to get whipped, man. About to get your behind kicked. Okay, so as we look at this, here we are. So God, I said, God, what you speaking to me? So he brought me back. The time that Dr. Miles Monroe came here to speak, this is years ago. You know he's going on to be with the Lord now. But he said something. He was on a 7-day fast, and he spoke. He said, Bob, you know, I don't know a whole lot, but I do know this. You are carrying around a bunch of dead folks. Man. And for the first time, I looked at that. I said, yeah. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He said this. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I'm just letting you see something here. Because what happened is God had signed off on that group. They were not going over. Any effort to take them with you is futile. They do not want to go. Come on. They can't be motivated to go. If you had 100 years with them, they'll still be belly aching and complaining. Are y'all with me? That's what Dr. Monroe was talking about. So you got people in here that you're trying to keep. You're trying to keep in here. And you need to let them go. See, I'm trying to soft pedal my message of everyone taking an envelope and receiving from God. Now, from God, I didn't say account. I said just receive it from God, $1,000 to put in that envelope, boom, to pay off that airplane. Because I did it before. But those people who are grumbling, they don't want to do that. And the reason why is because they've been signed off on. They're not going with you. They may as well pick up and find another church, because I haven't done anything yet. That was a mild something to do. I did not think of that. Jesus told me, this is what you do. And I know that if I obey him, all the blessings gonna come on the church and overtake us. See, but you've got people looking at me sideways and so forth. When I give them a faith challenge, they'd rather come and sit in like a knot on a log and pretend that they're in church and try to keep me silent and from walking by the faith that got me here. What got me here was listening to God and saying, yes, sir. I had $200. I didn't have no money. I didn't have no place to stay. And he said, go, and I went. And some 800 million households later, God has got us broadcasting into. I'm just saying, but each time I had to take a step of faith. Go on radio, take a step of faith. Go on television, take a step of faith. Every time it looked like it was so big financially that there was no way I could do this. By the shopping mall, I had to take it by faith. Only thing he tells you to do is receive. That means that you step out on what he said. You to decide between now and next week, is this the right sheepfold? Is this the right church? Because I love you, but I want you in the right place. I don't need any more looks at me when I do what God has called me to do. I don't need you to look at me with some strange look and go back and talk about your pastor like a dog. I don't need no more of that. I need you out. I need you to go where God has called you to go, and then you'll be happy. See, sometimes you got to get down to your fighting weight. He had to get Gideon down to it. He said, Gideon, you got 33,000. 33,000. He said, you got too many for me, Gideon. He said, watch this. Tell them what you're going to do. Tell them you're going to pay the airplane off in 5 months. Tell them that and watch half of them leave. He told them what he's going to do, and they left. Then he told others, he said, now, you still got too many. I know you think 10,000 is what you need, but get in, I'm going to tell you, what you need is me. And so I need a certain configuration before I can do what you call me to do. Got down to 300. Took everything. And I'm telling you, when you get a church down to its fighting weight, there's a power that will be released in that church that can pay a $30 million facility off in 2 months. Come on now, I'm talking about, you're talking about healings and miracles. Folks, it's none of this hard praying, trying to get, no more of that. All you got to do is almost just think it and just speak it. Boy, I wish I had a glass of water. Whoop! I wish I got to could get that house. Whoop! No. But when you got a bunch of stuff mixed in, that's dead. It is dead set as a doornail. It doesn't want to go anywhere. And somebody said, well, Reverend, I believe I might be too old. Too old? Are you too old to speak? Because if you can speak, you can make this happen. Somebody said, well, I might be too young. You are never too young. I'm just saying, stop the excuses. Stop this business, because you ain't seen nothing yet. See, I backed off from the faith that got me here. And now I got to catch up. I said, I got to catch up. And I'm going to lay some stuff on you. Remember, his commandments are not grievous. It's not going to be something you're going to struggle with or anything like that, because it's already done. He did it before the foundation of the world. All you got to do is receive, not achieve. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that this is a time that the church has got to go over. The lady prophesied up there. She said, you should have locations all over Chicago. I don't know how many times God has given me that. But every time I send somebody out, Pastor, ain't nothing out there. Pastor, ain't no place out there. We ain't. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Folks, I remember when we were getting our first location in Forest Park, one thing we were missing, it was a little place, true enough, office space up there on Madison Street, and moved from Lake and Pulaski there. Now, compared to Lake and Pulaski, that looked like Canaan land. Looked like Dubai. and so what happened? Remember, I said, we don't have a baptism pool. We got to baptize. Yeah. Well, Pastor, it's hard to get one in here. I can't do it, so forth and so on. I woke up one morning. God said, get yourself a baptism pool. So I went, I called around to find out where one, found out there's one down at Fleet Farm down, southern Illinois. He said, just rent a truck. I said, okay, praise God, rent a truck. I drove on down there, picked one out. They loaded it in the truck for me. I came back, got back here, pulled up in the truck. Now, and who can I call to help me with this? And all of a sudden, God said, there's a man right there. Watch this. How you doing, sir? Yes, sir. How you doing? I said, man, Lord, he's drunk. He said, that's what you got to use. Everybody else got too much sense. I said, hey, I got $10 for you. Can you help me with this thing? Oh, yes, sir. What you want to do it? I want to say I need to fill it up and put you in it. That's what I need. He helped me, a drunk, helped me take a cow's feeding trough and put it on that dock of that place right up on Madison Street, and we must have baptized anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 souls in that water. Yeah. But somehow, the Bible says that having a form of godliness, but no power, from such turn away. I want you to evaluate it, whether or not this is your sheepfold. I started in faith, I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to finish in faith. Now, I'm teaching on this blessing, and the blessing takes faith to execute it. You got to stay in faith. But sometimes we get around folks and get contaminated. The next thing you know, that unbelief spirit has dropped in on us, and we talking crazy or not speaking what God has spoken. So I want you to do this, and let me close with this. That I was For some reason, a song came to my mind. And I wasn't thinking about it, but just came up. And it came up from the past, back there in the day, when I was back there. And it was a song called Sideshow. And the words kind of went like, let the sideshow begin. Hurry, hurry. Come right on in. It only costs 50 cents. Watch this. But it's guaranteed to make you cry. You see, there's a sideshow. He said there are broken hearts. There are broken lives. Come on in and see it. Only costs 50 cents. It's cheap. But it's guaranteed to make you cry. And if something doesn't happen when you see people who are hurting, who are just, the devastation is everywhere, something's wrong. So when that song played, I tell you, I never remembered the words, but somehow those words came up in me and I played it, and it's not a Christian song, but I saw it in that way, that the devil got a circus going on. And over on his side over here, there's a sideshow. Now this one only costs 50 cents. But I want to show you broken people, broken hearts, and I guarantee you, it'll make you cry. I said, that's got to stop. We're the church. Part of our reason for being here is to lift the pain off of people's lives. So I'm saying that as we teach this part of the blessing, this is not just so that you can be blessed, but it's so that you can be a blessing to other people. Do you have what I see what I'm talking about? All right, there was one more scripture that I want you to see here. I'm letting you go early today because I didn't say it what I wanted to say. Amen. And this is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in the Message translation. I want you to see what it says here. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Glory to God. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on who? God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily realize, recognize that He wants from you what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's enough. I'm just saying, this is going to be a sheepfold that we're going in and possess our land. Watch this. You decide, because what He gives me to have the congregation do, It's not going to be grievous. But you're going to have to look at it by faith. You can do this. Say, I can do this. In Jesus' name. Give yourself a hand. That's right. If you hear God has spoken to your heart about being born again, that's the first step. So whoever that is right now and God has spoken to you about being born again, I want to pray for you. And what I need you to do is get up out of your chair and come on down and stand with me at the altar. I don't need you to be embarrassed about it. I don't need you to try to start figuring out what all is going to happen.